I was pretty nervous. And I still am today, but not so bad. But anyway, I'm just not used to speaking in front of people. But praise the Lord. This trip was exceptionally well, and I'm not a veteran at these. God has only blessed me to start going on these trips in November. But this trip to Chihuahua was very well received. In fact, there weren't even any bad reports. Like at the end of the day, we'd come in and usually have dinner together and then a Bible study every night, and we'd open it up with everyone can talk about their experiences of the day. And the only other two trips I've been on, there would always be some kind of resistance in distributing the tracts, or someone would run into some kind of problems. But this trip was really exceptional because there weren't any. I can't even think of any. Like the Lord just prepared this trip better than any man could have. The doors were open. We didn't even know these doors were going to be open before we got there, but it seemed like God was just making a way wherever we wanted to go, wherever, whatever. We asked permission to go to the prisons and the hospitals and things like that, and it was just happening, and we were very busy each day. They were long days, and we did distribute, to get to statistics, the 200,000 tracts that we had printed there, and over 2,100 Bibles. So it was busy in another sense, because 14 people were supposed to go on the trip, but a few days before we left, three people for emergency reasons just had a pass and couldn't make it. So that left 11 of us, which means, you know, we had to work a little harder. But it was a blessing because no one got sick or anything. We had everyone was of like mind, and we had a great fellowship each day, starting right off in the morning. Even though we would split and go our separate ways as teams, but it was just it was pleasant. It was a very joyful trip. God had really blessed us with a good time, more or less a good time in the Lord. And the reception of the tracts was really exceptional. Guatemala was really good, but this seemed to even be a little better. And the people were very friendly, very courteous. And from what I know, the little I know about these trips, I don't see how you can have a better situation and better reception and just a really good and profitable time, being that everything was distributed. And on my team, everyone knows Anna. I'm surprised she isn't here today, but does anyone here know Monica from Brooklyn? Well, that was our team, me and Anna and Monica. So I had two veterans with me. So, you know, we got along great. And they can't walk very good or very far, and it was hot there. So it worked out good because we'd get our assignments from Barry and we'd go to our location and we'd see if it was worth staying there. But I would try to put them on a busy street corner or something, or even sometimes in the shade where they can be passing out tracts to people walking by. And then I'd go run all around that area and try to find something better. So I didn't mind doing the footwork and come back and check on them and see how things were going. And sometimes we'd go somewhere and we wouldn't stay all day because there just weren't enough people. So we'd jump in a cab or jump on a bus and go to another part of town, or come back to the hotel and regroup and go back out later. But in all of that, and even throughout the trip, even a lot of uncertainties you run into, and you say, well, what about this or what about that? But you just go on, and it seems like a way would be made where by the end of the day, the work would be done, and it would always be a profitable day in the end. And I remember once on the one trip, first trip to India in November when I ran into a lot of trouble, and it was my first trip, and I didn't know how to handle it. But luckily I had Jerry Mittelstadt, who was one of the leaders on these trips. I happened to be on his team. And we come back to the cab, and I said, Jerry, you know, I don't know what to do. I had this guy yelling at me and ripping the tracks out of my hand and everything and chasing me and everything and causing a big scene. And he said, you know, he said, don't even argue with anything like that. He said, just say something nice if you can and walk away and just go somewhere else and start distributing again. And he said, you know, one thing stuck with me. He said, even when you run into these situations, he says, sometimes God will do that. He's meaning for you to go somewhere else. So he said, he might send a person in your way to get you off that street corner and send you to another place because perhaps one of God's elect is waiting for a track there. So whatever. So we just go. But in this trip, it was exceptionally nice, peaceful, joyful. The weather was fine. As I said, there wasn't even a negative report at the end of the day. So what Jerry had written me, he had sent me the mission trip to Chihuahua. These are the letters that he sends to Family Radio. And there are a few experiences there that were my experiences, so I can tell you about them. Some are even humorous. But you will get an idea of exactly what goes on. So this one here, well, first of all, when we first got there, first day going out to distribute the tracts, we were all ready to split up and go our separate ways to our assignments, and then the word comes back to the hotel a few blocks away, they're having a big Labor Day parade. So that changed our plans right there. And we went a couple blocks up, and this parade came through town. It lasted almost 3 hours, like over 2 hours. And the people were just coming and coming, and different bands and different people. It was a big holiday for them. So right off the start, there were so many tracts distributed to these people in that parade, like, and it seemed like it would never end. I was standing in a place where I could see a half a mile down the road, like, down a hill and over to the other side, and they just kept coming and coming. And just when I'm about to run out of my tracks, and we load up pretty heavy. Well, the men do anyway. We'll carry about, we can handle at least 2,000, maybe even 3,000 at times in a knapsack. And I'm ready to run out and think, well, I'm going to have to go back and get some work. I still can't see the end of the parade, you know. And the people that I came out there with, they were somewhere else working. And here I'm thinking, I'm ready to go back. I turn around, and there's Jerry and Barry, too. They heard about us, so they came, and then they had extra tracks, so the work wasn't even interrupted. I just went in them and dug in their pack and grabbed another bundle of tracks and continued. So right then and there, we could see God's hand in this work because we didn't plan this. We didn't know what was going to happen. Here we were there not even a day, and the Lord sends tens of thousands of people just walking down the street right behind the hotel. You know, we didn't even have to drive to this spot. So it was really a blessing. And that's how it all started. And I'll go on to another day. And okay, so here we go. A few days later, me and Anna and Monica go to our assignment. And it's a long ride by cab. And when we get there, it's just a big shopping mall. Oh, and anyway, Chihuahua is a very modern city. You would think you were in the States. New vehicles, new pickup trucks, everything. I didn't even see a dirt road, really. The roads are paved, the sidewalks are concrete, it's clean. The food was safe to eat. So we get up to this big mall, and it's a shopping mall just like back here. I see a Sears, JCPenney's, you know, Walmart, and big supermarkets. And there's really no people there. It's early in the morning. You know, there's nobody there. There's half of the stores weren't even open. So anyway, we said, well, Anna, you can go down here for a while. And Monica went up by the supermarket. Now, she lasted a little while, and then they stopped her. Because a lot of these places, these private-owned malls, they're private property. And when you start distributing the tracts, people will come out and stop you. Probably because people are taking them in the store, or they're leaving them in the shopping carts, and they just don't allow any other kind of solicitation. So while I went up looking for her, I was walking around handing out tracts outside, and nobody said anything to me until she actually told me herself what happened. But before I got there, a busy spot was down at a red light. It was a busy intersection, and the cars would stop. 5 to 8 cars, each red light. And I'd go through the driver's windows, and while they're stopped, most of them would take a track in through the window. On the other side of the street from me, there's this little, not an old man, but you could see a poor man selling newspapers. So he's going down one side of the cars trying to sell him a newspaper. I'm going down the other side, handing the Does God Love You tracks in the window. And I wasn't even thinking, considering him, or I was being inconsiderate. So there's a little lull there, and I'm sitting across the street from him, and we never said as much as hello to each other. So then it hit me. I said, you know, I didn't even give him a track, and he's probably mad at me because he's trying to sell newspapers, and I'm just interfering with his business there. So I walk across the street and I hand him a track. He sits down on the curb and he just started reading this track. And the cars are going by and stopping and his papers are there. And he just quit selling papers. He stopped there reading that track.
Amen.
Yeah, I tell you, it was. And I said, wow. Here I'm thinking he's going to be mad at me. And he can't speak English. I can't speak Spanish. So he took that track and he's reading. And I'm passing out more tracks there. It was the busiest spot I could find. And then I said, you know, we usually carried a few Bibles with us. So I probably had 3 or 4 Bibles in my knapsack, too. I said, well, he's so interested in that track. I better go give him a Bible. So I go across the street. I hand him a Bible. He immediately takes the cellophane wrapper off it. They were nice Bibles we were distributing anyway. And he started reading that Bible. And he forgot about the papers. I stayed there a while, and then I left to get Monica. And I said, well, it's time for us to leave here anyway. And it was a while just to get Monica and Anna and then get a cab and go somewhere else. And when I walked away from that corner, that man was still sitting right on the ground, on the curb, right in the dirt, reading that Bible, just intense as could be. So it's experiences like that, it really... Well, that makes your day. That makes the trip. Perhaps our whole reason for going there was to get, God wanted his word to get to that man. So we don't know if he's one of God's elect. But it was sure inspiring to see and things like this happen quite a bit. But that was really, I would think it was going to backfire. He was going to yell at me and you know, tell me to get going. And here when I handed him God's word, he just got so overwhelmed with it. So praise the Lord. We need to pray for not only him, but all the people that receive God's word. So that was one experience I was all joyful about. And another note. And then we were trying to go. There was a lot of schools in the area, and mostly Catholic. The town of Chihuahua is, they said, basically Catholic. There's all Catholic churches. That's probably the only religion there. And I'm familiar with Catholicism because I was born and raised in a Catholic church and grew up an altar boy and all of that stuff. And my heart bleeds for the Catholics because now that God has come into my life, I can see where they're just terribly misled. So we went to this school once, and it was a cab ride, about a half an hour, and they had just gotten out, so we missed them. So there was a couple little girls sitting on the curb, and I said, do any of you speak English? And the one little girl said, yeah, I speak English. She spoke English just like we do. So I asked her, what time do they get let out? And she told me. So we set it up to go back another time. We tried once, and something else came up. I ended up in a prison. That's another story, too, taking Bibles to a prison because everyone else there was waiting. They were already there with some, Jerry and Olga, Elsha. They already had permission. I'm going to get off the school for a second because this is a story in itself. And the minister and the prison man show up at the hotel, and Anna and Monica and I are ready to leave to go up to that school. We said, we'll go early today, you know, we'll be there when they get out. And this guy comes to the hotel, and he can't speak English, so we have the receptionist, the man at the desk at the hotel, interpreting for us. He says, yeah, we need to get more Bibles to go back up to the prison. So, okay. I knew where they were. I got the key, and he said one, he worked in the prison, and one was a pastor that had a ministry there. And everything was set except they needed more Bibles. So, okay, we're loading them in his van. And then in the meantime, Bert shows up. I should have mentioned him. He's one of the men that helped set up the trip. He is Mexican. He speaks Spanish. In fact, him and Dave Morrell set this trip up. In fact, Bert, Alberto, his name is, he's been helping set up the family radio trips to Spanish-speaking countries because he fluently speaks the language. And he's just a great, wonderful brother in the Lord, a very humble man. And if we didn't have him, we'd really be in trouble because he was the only one we had that could speak Spanish for one thing. So he comes in, he says, yeah, we better get some more. So he knew about what was going on, and he said, "You want to come with us?" I said, "Sure, yeah. That's why I'm here, you know, to help." So we take 9 boxes of Bibles. That's 360 Bibles. There's 40 in a box. We go up to this prison, and in all this commotion, carrying the boxes of Bibles in, everyone's waiting for us, and they went through a couple different securities. They took their pictures, they took their fingerprints, they searched them all down, and in this commotion of us carrying the Bibles in, and me with this man that works in the prison, I have my knapsack on. I have another pouch around my waist here. I have a pocket knife in my pocket, you know, and stuff like my survival Swiss Army knife. Right? Here we go carrying these Bibles in and out. Here we're ready to go through the final gate and go out to the courtyard, and I meet Jerry there. I said, Jerry, I have a knife in my pocket. I have my camera on me. I got a backpack on me, you know. He said, well, you better tell them. I said, yeah, I guess I better. You know, we're right here. And I sort of made a joke out of it, but it isn't funny. I said, you know, it was like if the Lord blinded them. Like they had to get them Bibles there, and I'm riding with these people. And everybody went through all this rigorous security. And here I am ready to go out into the courtyard with the prisoners, and nobody even asked me a question. So, you know, for what it's worth, that's what happened. So we didn't get to the school that day. So we went up the next day, and there was hundreds, thousands of kids. There was 3 of us there, Anna, Monica, and I. And we were distributing a lot of tracts. All the children were taking them. And they were, I'd say, like middle school age, you know, 9th grade, maybe 6th to 10th grade. And a lot were being thrown on the ground. A lot, they would look at them. It was a strictly Catholic school. They were ripping them up, throwing them. They weren't nice about it. I mean, nobody was nasty, and nobody even approached us and told us we couldn't distribute them. So after it died down, I told Ann and Monica, I said, well, you could handle who's ever going to come out. Now I'm going to start picking the tracks up. So we carry bags with us too, just regular shopping bags. And whenever we can, we try to pick up the litter or pick up the tracks or the damaged tracks. So I started picking them up. There was a lot to police up. They were all over the streets and everything. But considering what we distributed, it was a small percentage. I'd say maybe only 5% were on the ground. So then two kids started to help me. A boy and a girl from the school started helping me. So the three of us are picking up the tracks. And you know, it was just very touching, you know. Out of all them kids, those two worked with me. They were picking them up and bringing them to me and putting them in a bag. And just to look in that boy's eyes, you know, like they were so sincere about what they were doing. So it makes you wonder, you know. God sent us there for a reason. It could be just for those two children. You know. So anyway, they're very touching experiences, you know, and you know God's word is playing a part in what you're doing. So, praise the God. That really, there was something to it that we don't know, but we know we were there doing God's work, and God played a part in that. You know, He moved those children to help pick up those tracks. You know, and I told the boy, I said, you know, this is the word of God in Spanish, you know. And he just had such a sincere look in his eyes. He said, yeah, I know. So, whatever. Praise God. So back to that prison, just really quickly, we went in there and we started putting the tracks in the Bibles. They announced to all the prisoners, walk by this gate. For anyone that wants a Bible, can come and get one. Because the whole while we were there, they were talking over the loudspeaker. So Alberta was with me and I said, Bert, what are they announcing? He said, they're inviting every prisoner here who wants a Bible to come by this gate, and we were just handing them to them. We were frantically opening them, taking them out of the wrappers, putting a track in every one and some other literature, and the guard was just handing them to the inmates. So we didn't really have an idea of how many we were going to distribute, but we had 360 there, and when every prisoner that wanted one got one, we had 5 Bibles left. So we weren't short, but it was cutting it pretty close. So praise God for that. Anyone that wanted one in that prison had the opportunity to get one and got one. So, and this trip in particular, the people were super friendly. And what was nice, I don't exactly understand it all, but I guess so much money is donated for the purchase of Bibles, like you hear them announce on the radio. And with Barry was more or less in charge of that, trying to find them, where we can buy them, and Bert. And they got them at a real good price, whereas in Guatemala, I think we paid $7 a Bible. Here we got them for $3 a piece. So that's why we ended up with over 2,100 Bibles, according to the money that we had to spend on them. So it was a real blessing to be able to go out on the street. So the second week, well, let me backtrack a little bit. You could tell I'm not a good speaker by now, right? But anyway, we had 800, and they went pretty quick. So they ordered 1,500 more, and I don't even know where they came from, maybe a different country. They had to send out for them somewhere, but they got them, and within a couple of days, we had 1,500 more Bibles. So toward the end of the trip, we still had quite a few. So Barry said, well, call a cab, take a couple boxes, and when you're out on a... We know the busy spots in town, we know the busy corners, we know the busy marketplaces by now. We know where it's a heavy flow of people, and it's different people every day. They come in on the buses to do their shopping. They come to the grocery store, to the vegetable market, and it's a steady flow. And it was nice. He said, well, get a cab and take a box with you. He said, I did that yesterday. He said, I gave 2 boxes of the Bibles away like in a couple hours in no time, and while I'm distributing tracts. So I said, okay. I said, could I have 4 boxes? He said, yeah, okay. We have them. So I put Anna at a nice busy spot she was familiar with. Monica was at a supermarket, a very busy place she was familiar with. So they went to their post, and I had Bert write in Spanish for me, "Would you like a Bible for free?" And I wrote it with a marking pencil on the boxes. And we'd set a box by each one of us. And I'm a couple blocks away at another busy intersection. And it was nice to be able to do that, because the people would walk by and you're giving them a tract, and they look at that box on the sidewalk by you, and they have to ask for it because you have a question on there: would you like a Bible for free? And the people there are not used to getting things for free. In fact, one instance Monica had, we were working together at this park, and we couldn't get it across to this woman that it was free. She insisted on paying for this Bible. She had the money in her hand. She finally took it and started walking away. She came right back, handed it back to Monica. You know, she never took the Bible. She refused to take it for nothing. She insisted on paying for it or giving something for it. So that's just one instance. But to get back to the boxes of Bibles, it was really nice because the people would come and they'd see that and they'd walk down a little ways and they'd turn around and come back. And then they would always come up to you and ask you, you know, "Can I have one?" And you'd say, "Sure." So it was so nice to be able to do that because, you know, you're handing them the complete Word of God, and we're handing them it's a complete Bible. They were really nice, Old Testament and New Testament, and in their language. And that was a blessing in itself. So all in all, whatever we had to distribute, everything was distributed in a very proper way. And there was a little mass distribution. Some pastors from the city or some people that came in from far out towns or had little ministries, when they heard or met one of us on the street and we told them we had tracts for them and biblical information, Family Radio information, and Bibles, if they would come to the hotel, we could accommodate them. So that was a blessing also, because they came and they were really thrilled. You know, they came and couldn't thank us enough or thank God enough that we were there giving them Bibles and tracts that they were going to distribute themselves or take them back to their communities or to their villages and spread the word also. So that's another example. Like, God knew we were short-handed, you could say. So He was supplying the people. He was sending people. And where they take a whole box of tracts or maybe a box of Bibles, you know. And it all worked out perfect in the end. So we never really had to worry about what we're going to do with all the materials, you know. And it was just so wonderful. And another great thing that when we're working for the Lord, and we know the wonderful thing is we're distributing the true gospel. We're giving them the Word of God. God is using us to distribute His Word. And you know, it's even nice, and sometimes it's even you feel better about handing a Bible tract even to a child, more so than an adult, because we know God has let it known to us. It is His true word. And you feel good about doing it. You feel you're giving a child the Word of God, whether they realize it or not. I mean, there's so many people out there distributing so many other things. Not only bad things, but even good things that are not necessarily leading them to God or not helping them in any way. But it's just something to know, by the grace of God, we're distributing His Word. And you don't have to be afraid to even give it to a child. You know what I mean? You would almost wish they'd come back with their parents, so you could even testify or witness to them. You know, God has really blessed us with that and given us this opportunity. And we know we're spreading the truth. And we're actually working out in God's fields, you know. The harvest is out there, but the laborers are few. But That strikes me too, you know. That's good to know that. So don't be afraid to even witness to a little one or a child or talk to them about the Bible or the Lord or give them a tract and let them take it home. Perhaps their parents will get in touch with you and then you'll have a chance also to witness to them. You know, we have God's Word. There's nothing more in earth or heaven above that is more valuable than God's Word. So we're actually handing out the living Word of God. You know, the life unto eternity, salvation of their souls. We should never worry about, which is the good thing about it. You don't have to worry about giving it to anyone because you could never give them anything better. Then they will never receive anything better in their whole life. So it's pure, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And again, the people there were exceptionally friendly. And after being in town for a week, the vendors and the people that live there, they get tired of seeing us, you know. You're going up the street, you're going out again, and as time goes by, you're handing them a tract and they say something in Spanish. I already have one. I didn't learn those words, but anyway, you hear it enough as time goes by. But all in all, it isn't discouraging because sometimes even the persistence might cause them to read it. Just because they took it doesn't mean they read it. So by seeing us there day after day, I was thinking, because I heard somebody complain about it. I said, you know, we shouldn't complain because maybe it's our persistence will cause them to read it. Just because we gave them one or they took one the other day, it doesn't mean a thing if they didn't read it. So maybe they'll get to thinking, you know, this is the only reason these people are here, these Americans are here in another country distributing these tracts. Yeah, maybe I'd better read it, you know. It must be pretty important. You know, they're not here buying or selling anything else but the gospel. So it's another way to look at it if you ever get discouraged about somebody telling you, well, you already gave me one. Say, well, don't worry about it. But another instance I had, just walking from the hotel on my own, I usually get up early and out early and can't sleep, or I had to find a coffee shop in Mexico. That took a couple days because they didn't even open the restaurant in the hotel we were at until we had breakfast, I think, at 7:30. And when I'm up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, I could use the coffee before 7 o'clock. So I go out walking around the streets, and thank God it was a safe enough place to do that. You can just go out yourself. It was safe. You felt as safe as you would walk in the streets here. So I asked this woman, and she led me to this little bakery, to this coffee shop. And every morning I go out early and go down there and have a coffee and a pastry. And whoever came in, too, they'd get a tract. I'd have just a handful of tracts with me, just early morning, get some people going on the buses to work. So I'm walking back one day. Jerry wrote about this in one of these letters. And there's a man sitting on a bench across the street from me in one of the nice little town parks they have. There was a lot of parks around. It was very nice, clean. And he's sitting over there writing something. He's the only man in the park. It's early in the morning. And I'm expecting, well, it comes to my mind, he's working on a crossword puzzle or something like that, you know. So I said, well, I got to better walk across the street and give him a tract. I'll give him something good to read, right? I walk across the street. I start walking up to him, and he didn't even pick up his head. Here he has two tracts in his hand, and he's reading the tracts, and he's putting X's by the questions and the answers. So when I got up to him, I said, well, I have one Bible with me. So when I walked up, I saw he was already studying the tracts. When I handed him the Bible, like, he was speechless. You know, the man was really intensely involved in those tracts, and that was from the day before. Like, he'd been carrying them with him. And so, praise the Lord. You know, I felt that God used me then to bring him the whole Word, where this man was just sitting reading that tract. It wasn't the newspaper. It wasn't a crossword puzzle. So Praise the Lord. He received the Bible that day. And that blessed me. Good way to start the day. So anyway, one other instance, somebody reported they were out and they experienced the police grabbed this man, put him against the building, and they were searching him. The police guard drove up, you know, and they were watching this. They didn't know anything else about it. But they saw him, put him against the building. They start frisking him and searching him. And the only thing they pulled out of one of his pockets, he had nothing else on him, was the Does God Love You track. And they handed it to him and they let him go. They didn't even take him with them. Whatever the reason, we don't know. But that was real funny, you know. They frisk him and he had some Does God Love You track in his back pocket. The only thing he had on him. So somebody witnessed that, and that was one of the orders there, one of the things we shared at the end of the day. And to say a little bit about what we do, which generally a team will get an assignment or an address, and you'll make your way to get to that location. And we pray all the time before we go out in the morning. Sometimes we come back if we're nearby at dinner time and take a little break. Sometimes you're out all day, or if you run out of tracks and have to come back. But we pray constantly that God will lead us to those He has waiting there for His word. And we know He does. We've seen it happen over and over. And that's how the day usually goes. We'll have breakfast together and pray in the morning, and then we part our ways by teams sometimes. And then we meet. We have dinner at night about 7 o'clock. And then a Bible study afterwards and a little hymn sing and things like that. But throughout the course of the day, you're on your own. You're on your own for your lunch. And this place was good enough where you could have went out for the day. You could have stopped and bought some food anywhere. You didn't have to worry about it. And that's generally the protocol of every day. Except Sundays, the Lord's Day, we'll have a little worship service. And Barry or Jerry will bring forth a message. And we'll have a little more formal Lord's Day worship service. And then load up and go out again. But it was great to know that the distribution went so well. We need to really pray for these people. The acceptance rate and the reception rate was phenomenal. And being that they are Catholic, they know about God. They heard about Jesus all their lives. But we need to pray for them that they get to know Him and not just to know about Him. So a lot of tracts are distributed, and we know God is going to save quite a few in that city, and continue to keep them in your prayers. And you don't have to pray for us anymore for that trip, but thank God God kept us all safe and healthy, and no one got sick, and it was just a real blessing. It wasn't a struggle. The only struggle I experienced, sometimes you'll have a bad day, or you'll be in turmoil. You won't feel up to par, or you got to push yourself to get motivated or get started. But other than that, it was really pleasant. But even on those days when you're having a little trouble getting started, once you actually go out and get busy, you sort of get over that pretty quick, and you get in the swing of things. And it was a very, very pleasant trip. And that's just some of the things that happened. I don't remember everything. I have a shopping mall listed here. We went out of town once, Anna and Monica and I, and the people were going in the store, and it was a mall, which they usually would stop you from going into. I said, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on in there. So I went in the store, and it was an inside mall. And there was a security guard there, a young man. I said, well, I'm going to go and walk around and just be handing out tracts to the customers. So I handed it to him, and he didn't say anything. So I went through the whole mall. I made the rounds, and almost everyone took a track. That's how the whole trip was. Like, no matter where you went, the people were accepting them. Very few refusals. So I went back outside to work in my traffic, and Monica and Anna are on their corners. And afternoon rolled along. We were too far away to go back that day, so we were out for the day. And I went back in that mall again in the afternoon. I said, it's all different people in there now. So I go through and maybe distribute a few hundred tracts. And as I'm leaving the second time, I could see the exit door, and this old secured old man comes up to me and says, you can't do that in here without a permit, you know, but just the way God opens the door, and nobody can close it until he's ready to close it. And I was already leaving, but the work was done. You know, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot, where we'll go where we don't have permission and be distributing. And you're not breaking the law or anything, but then a security guard will come up to you and say, you know, you can't do that here. And they're real nice about it, and you need to get a permit to do that. But your work was done. You know, if we had to go through all that red tape, you'd waste more time trying to figure it out than you actually would distributing the tracts. So that's about it for the... I could probably go on with a couple more experiences, but this is, if anyone... all of these letters that were sent back to Family Radio are on the webpage. You can just click on go into Mission Trips and read each one. This is exactly what I have as a printout from them. So if anybody's interested in reading them in detail and you have access to a computer, just go into Family Radio and into Missions, and you can read them in detail. But I can vouch for whatever is on here that it actually did happen, you know. And Jerry does a real good job at putting these together. And that's a lot of work, too, to try to be working on this and working on the streets all the time, too. But it's really nice to work with them. We had a real good team. Everyone got along, and we had that really meant a lot. Everyone got along with each other. We were all of like mind. The Bible studies were very good, and the fellowship we had, even when we were having dinner together, was a blessing in itself. And does anyone have any questions? Sally?
Yeah, your Bible study, did you have to that?
Only a very few. We would invite them, but we did have a few. We had a man staying in the hotel. He was there on business with a group of people, and he heard us singing hymns one day upstairs in the evening, and he came up, and he was really thrilled. He says, I can't believe it. You know, there's believers in the Lord here, and I heard you singing hymns. So his whole stay, then he came for a couple of nights to the Bible study and all, and he only spoke Spanish, but we had Bert with us, which was our interpreter. And after the second day, this man said, I'm learning English from singing these hymns. You know, so that was... There weren't many this time came to the studies. Not like in Guatemala. But there's a reason for that, too. We met a lot of people in town that would come up to us and ask us how we're enjoying our stay here and thanking us for coming there. And if there's any problem, you know, here's my card, get a hold of me. Even public officials, like, we were just welcome, like, with open arms. It was by the policemen. Another little story, the police, a lot of them had bicycles in the city. So I'm on this corner one day passing out the tracks, pretty busy spot, and the people are getting off the bus. And there's a little lane for the bicycle, and I stepped out to give a track to a person in the car window, and this policeman's coming down on a bicycle, and I jumped to get out of his way, and I slipped on the curb, and I fell on my back, right? But gently. You know, I had my knapsack on anyway. So I couldn't catch my balance, so I fall over backwards on the sidewalk. He stops, and he's asking me if I'm okay, and I said, yeah, I didn't bang myself or anything. It was a gentle fall. And, you know, 2 days later, he saw me out in town, and he came by and stopped and asked me again if I'm okay. Like, he was so concerned about maybe I got hurt, or he was apologizing to me, you know, even though I stepped out in front of him. So then a few days after that, the day before we were leaving, I was in the same area of town, which was a very busy place. And he rides up to me again for the third time. And he has two other policemen with him on bicycles. And one of them spoke a little English. And he didn't speak much English, but he was concerned about me, you know, he was still. So at that point in time, it gave me the opportunity to hand them a track, even his buddies. And so they received tracks. So we don't know how God works in such strange ways, you know. Wait right till the before we leave, and because of my stupidity, falling over on the curb, you know, it even brought people, and other policemen came with him, and they graciously took the tracks. The one even said, "I'm a Christian," you know. I said, "Well, that's fine, you know. You'll find out if you are when you start reading that track," you know. But those little experiences, and it was just a pleasure to be on this trip. It was really a blessing. And if they continue to go like this, well, we don't know. We don't know. But anyone else have any questions? And I know there's some things I didn't cover, but I can't think of much else. If there's no questions, I do want to bring up one thing for all of us here. I heard on listening to Open Forum Friday night, a woman called in and asked Brother Camping and told her that she had just become saved a month ago. And he asked her, "Well, what makes you think, you know, you became saved?" And she said, "Well, I was baptized and I accepted the Lord in the church a month ago." And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Well, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you become truly saved, you know." And as the conversation went on, she says, "Well, he suggested to her." This is the point I want to get to. He said, "Well, read Psalm 119. He said, "Start reading the Bible. Get yourself a Bible. Start reading Psalm 119 and see what that means to you. You know, see how you let God speak to you through that. That might help you if you're not sure." Because I don't think she was, or she wouldn't have asked him. But she did say she was legally blind or whatever. But she will get a tape and listen to it. But that's when Psalm 119 came into my life this week. So yesterday I started reading it and asking myself, you know, like in a prayerful way, reading it, talking to the Lord, and, you know, where do I stand? So that really hit me as that's a good thing for all of us to do, you know, start reading Psalm 119 and, I took that advice of Mr. Campion and started, and I only got to the 25th verse yesterday morning. So I got a long way to go. But it really, you know how the Lord does things sometimes. Robert, you'll come up and give the Sunday school, and Chris will come up and be preaching on the same thing. And it seemed coincidental today. With the walk in and find out that guy was talking about Psalm 119 the first thing this morning. So let's maybe take it to heed and, you know, we can all use a Psalm 119 every once in a while. So praise the Lord. I'm grateful I'm here. I want to give God all the honor and glory that for giving me the opportunity to do this and go on these trips. Because, well, praise the Lord, because I know if someone would have told me this 3 years ago that I'd be doing this today, I would have laughed at them or told them, because it's only 3 years that the Lord has saved me. So I give God all the praise and honor and glory, and I'm really thankful He can use me in this manner. Let's have a little word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank Thee, O Lord, for how You use Your Word to penetrate us, even a sinful man. We pray, O God, that you will speak to those people in Chihuahua, Lord. All of those that received your word, that you will lead them out of the darkness into your true light and out of the deception of other false doctrines and religions. We thank you, Lord, that you bring us together to hear your true word, and you reveal yourself to us through your word. We thank you so much for this, dear Father. We also pray for any here that may not be saved, O God. All of our unsaved loved ones, we all have family members that don't know thee, Lord. Everyone knows of you, but, Lord, we need to know you. So we ask you, Lord, that you will convince those that don't know you by your word. Touch their hearts, O God, and cause them to turn to you with a spirit of repentance, Lord. We ask that you will save many souls as they hear your word in these last days. Again, we thank thee for this gathering today. How gracious you are to us. Help us to appreciate everything you do for us and not even to take the simple things for granted. Thank you, O Father. Praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well.